In this segment, we're going to spend some time on personal finances and investing, since, well, among the top New Year's resolutions are the weight of your butt and the weight of your wallet, basically. Starting us off, to share the results of a study on New Year's financial resolutions, as Vice President of Fidelity Investments, we say good morning to Ken Hever. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, Chris. Good morning to you. How are you?
Great to have you here and provide some financial sanity. Let me give you the website, fidelity.com. You'll learn more about this study along with all of the services financially Fidelity does provide. And, you know, when I was looking at this survey and priorities, save more money, pay off debt, spend less, develop a long-term goal plan, make or stick to a budget and pay down credit card debt. I was surprised. Save more money. That's sort of the no-brainer. I was surprised to see the pay down credit card debt being so low. What makes me wonder, is that because credit card debt has dropped down so much, or people still fail to see that as a priority?
Well, in fact, more and more people are considering that to be one of their top financial resolutions. We've been doing this study for 5 years, and paying down debt has, you know, it moved into actually the number two spot. So, you know, all of those goal areas, Chris, that you pointed out are the range of financial resolutions people are setting. But people are definitely zeroing in on paying off that debt. They're feeling a little bit better about their personal financial situation this year compared to last year. And so I think people are now saying, you know what, enough is enough. I got to get rid of this debt. I need to put some cash on the side, make sure I have an emergency fund, and then I need to really make sure that I'm committing to those longer-term goals.
Notice, too, that the more and more people are looking at short-term saving goals as opposed to long-term. Long-term still prevails over short-term, 53 versus 39%. And I always think back, too, when people were thinking of saving and investing on short and long-terms. I mean, you go back to the 80s, used to be people were sucking money into penny stocks. Then the 90s, and we got into the day traders. Are people more, do you think, more sensible when they look at saving elements and platforms versus the trend du jour, I guess you could say, with those two points, examples I just gave?
Well, I would say that the study tells us that they're becoming more balanced, and balance is very important because they recognize that, you know, if I have to take money out of my nest egg, out of my 401k and my IRA, number one, I can't put it back in. Number two, I might get hit with some taxes or some penalties. So having, you know, emergency fund on hand, that's the short-term goal, makes a lot of sense. And then I would say the other thing, in addition to becoming balanced, is that people are becoming more educated. It's so much easier now than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. You know, you'd have to go to the library and take out the barons and then try to read the barons to get educated. You know, now you can Saturday morning, cup of coffee, put some music on, grab your iPad. It's so much easier for people to become educated. And when you're educated, you feel more confident and you're more likely to take a step.
Talking with Ken Hever, Vice President from Fidelity Investments, about their fifth annual New Year's financial resolution study. You can see that and learn more about everything that Fidelity offers at fidelity.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When you look at, I mean, people always discount themselves as potential investors or savers, saying that, well, what have I got left over at the end of the week after I take care of my bills and my obligations? I don't have enough to save or invest. How many people are taking themselves or removing themselves from the potential of becoming investors and savers, not recognizing the fact that even if you're saving a little, saving momentum will turn that little into a lot over the course of time?
Well, that's the key right there. And you know, my words, not anybody else's. You know, I think we're moving into a no excuses type of mindset. So you're right on. I mean, you know, we all have a lot of different competing goals, and there's only so much money to go around. And you know, the most important thing is that we take some time to really reflect on, you know, what is important. What's the stuff that's keeping me up at night? You've got to have a priority, right? First things first. And if what's keeping you up at night is knowing that if something was to happen, the car to break down, the furnace to go, you don't have the cash, you'd have to borrow it or whatever, you know, maybe that's where you start. But at the end of the day, you've really got to make progress against all these different buckets, the retirement, the emergency fund, the paying down the debt. And you're exactly right on. Even though ultimately to get to where you want to be in terms of having the retirement portfolio to give you the lifestyle you're looking for might require saving 10 to 15% of your earnings, even increasing that by 1% a year and making sure you're using tax-advantaged accounts so you're not paying taxes on those earnings now, and making sure that you've got the right exposure to equities over the long term, those are the things that are going to really help you out. So you got to start somewhere, no excuses, and really be honest with yourself. Where are you feeling the most pain?
That sort of ties into one of the findings with the survey among those who indicated save more money is one of the top three financial resolutions for 2014. Median annual amount respondents said they were going to save is at $2,400, and that's twice what it was back in 2010. So you figure $2,400, that's an IRA, obviously. That could be put into a stock spider if you want to do something a little more adventurous. And basically, I mean, obviously, do the math and math, it breaks down to $200 a month.
$200 a month, and if you set it up on some type of automatic, regular investment program, you take the emotion out of figuring out, you know, am I investing at a peak? Am I investing at a bottom? Right, just, you know, have it go in on a regular basis. You take the emotion out, and you put it into a portfolio that you're comfortable with. And, you know, that's a way to break that big goal down into very simple steps.
The survey also showed 49% fueled economic uncertainty the past year, the debt ceiling battles, interest rate changes, how that might hurt their chances of keeping their financial resolutions in 2014. I would, you know, being the contrarian that I am, I would start to think that the more uncertain what we think the stable is would compel us to say, you know what, I have to have a stronger grip on my financial future, so I need to do more saving and investing on my own as opposed to relying on the job being there in a year from now or Social Security being there when I retire or things like that.
Chris, I believe that exactly what you just said is sort of the underlying force behind this positive trend that we've seen. There's been uncertainty. People have realized that, you know, no one's going to pay for my retirement for me. Nobody's going to bail me out if I'm in an emergency. I own that myself. I think that what the comment about the uncertainty in terms of what if things change in terms of, you know, tax laws that I didn't expect, I think that's something people are learning to live with a little bit, but at the same time, they realize that, you know, these changes may actually eat away into, for instance, you know, my take-home pay. And if taxes go up, then, you know, I've got a little less to work with, and I've got to find a way to spread it around. So I think people have realized that, you know, there's no question there is a lot of uncertainty and complexity out there. That's a big part of why they're focused on having some goals. And they're not saying that I'm not going to have the goals. What they're saying is it might make it a little bit trickier, but I'm going to pay attention.
Speaking of taxes, the survey also asked, what do you plan to do with your tax refund, if you're lucky enough to get one this year? And the vast majority, 33% said pay off debt, 15% said save for retirement, 9% save for college, 22% save for something else. Then you had the remainders, vacation, travel, other day-to-day expenses. That's very encouraging to see 33% say pay off the debt. To do something constructive and to free themselves financially from the debt with the technically what is found money, even though it's their money coming back that they let the government have with no interest charges.
Key word there, Chris. You know, financial independence, self-reliance. I think people are tired of feeling dependent on others. I think people are feeling, you know, getting tired of losing sleep over things that they should be able to control. I mean, we can't necessarily control what happens in, you know, global markets. We can't fully control what happens on Capitol Hill, but we certainly can control what we do with that refund. And I agree with you. It certainly portends a very positive trend going forward.
Having over time with Ken Hevard, Vice President, Fidelity Investments, Fidelity.com, and the web here on issues and ideas. So just for the person out there who says, you know, much like with the diet or they join the gym, and starting is one thing, keeping it going is probably the tougher part of the equation. What's one or two good ideas for someone to, once they make a financial commitment and a decision in investing and saving, to keep it going?
So I'm going to share two with you. One of them came from the people who said they had good success last year in hitting their goals. About 80 plus percent of their goals were hit. and their best practice was to make sure that they were tracking their goal on a regular basis. So, you know, how am I doing? Am I doing what I said I would do? If it was spending less, you know, did I spend less on the stuff I said I was going to stop buying? So track it regularly. The other thing that we've seen and heard from our customers that seems to be working really well is setting these goals and these financial resolutions in partnership with a spouse, with your family, with a companion, somebody that you trust, somebody who can give you feedback to say, you know, that may or may not be the right, you know, goal area for you. You talk a lot about how you're worried about retirement. Maybe you should focus there. And they can hold you accountable. So I would say those are two tips. Track it and don't, you know, make the resolution by yourself and keep it to yourself. Share it with somebody you trust.
It's the 5th Annual New Year's Financial Resolution Study. You can see and learn and be guided and inspired from it over at Fidelity.com. Learn more about the investment guidance and knowledge and services offered by Fidelity Investments. Again, Fidelity.com. We've been joined by their Vice President, Ken Hevard. Ken, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Pleasure to be with you, Chris. Take care now.